Good to have all of you this morning. Thank you for being here. I want to start a new series this morning on seven strategies for our church. This is something the Lord laid on my heart several months ago, and I'm going to give them to you. I'm going to get Teresa to put these in the bulletin next week. I want to name them to you. First of all, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 103. We're going to talk about the first one today. There's seven things. I didn't realize it was seven when I was seeking the Lord, saying, God, I need direction. Where do you want us to go? How do you want us to build this church? Then God began to speak to my heart, and I'm glad I serve a God that will speak to us. People think you're crazy when you talk like that, but it's okay. Amen. How many of you know God speaks to you? Maybe not an audible voice, but in your heart. There's seven things: saved, healed, set free, discipled, equipped, empowered, and serving. And today we want to talk on the first one, being saved. God began to pour in my heart. He said, if you build the church on these principles, then it will immediately be what I need it to be. I know we live in a day now where there's a lot of churches that are trying to grow in different ways, and I understand that, but I want to grow biblically. I believe when you grow inwardly, then you automatically grow outwardly. And I thank God for the symbol that we have here at Northview, that it's a symbol of hope. 50 years of ministry this church has been here, and it's a symbol to a lost and dying world that changes continually, that God is the same. He's still God. Amen. So I want to turn to the book of Psalms this morning, and Psalm 103 is a beautiful psalm, a psalm of David, a psalm of praise when David begins to exalt God for what he has done in all of our lives. When you talk about salvation, you talk about a lot of times what people think or their ideas or how they view salvation. Well, if you're saved, you'll do this. If you're saved, you'll look like this. If you do this, I think it's better that we just go to the Word and see what God says about it. So in Psalm 103, beginning in verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and listen to this next part, forget not all his benefits. I want to talk about divine forgiveness this morning. Forget not all his benefits. Verse 4. Who redeemed thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Powerful, powerful words this morning. I want you to know, I want to talk about divine forgiveness this morning, and I want us to go on down to verse 10. In your study, read all this chapter, but just for time's sake, drop on down to verse 10. I want to read verses 10, 11, and 12. It says, He hath not dealt with us. This is a good verse here. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Aren't you glad of that? Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God is an awesome God. For as the heaven is above the earth, so great is his mercy toward us that fear him. Look at verse 12. Here's that verse that you hear from time to time. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I want to talk about a couple of words here, because when you talk about building the ministry of God, the whole purpose for us being here is to be a light of hope. We're born in this world of sin. We're born in this world a sinner. We have that inclination to do evil. And so God said, for he loved us so much, he sent his son to break that. To break that drive inside of us to do evil, God sent his son. So the first thing I want to talk about is, number one, is that God removes our transgressions. I'm going to use R word, three things I want to say, but I'm going to use R in the word. And the first one is, removes our transgressions. Look at verse 10. It said, he had dealt with us according after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I want to break down that word iniquity there. Two things I want to say. There's a difference in the word iniquity and transgression. The word iniquity means inward motivation. Inward motivation. Because of sin, we're born in this world with what we call in the biblical world a propensity to evil. In other words, you don't have to teach a child to do bad. You got to teach them to do right, right? Because it's a normal, natural thing to move toward evil. So when we're born with that iniquity, an inward motivation. Then there's transgression. Transgression is outward movement. Now both of them are sin, but you got to understand what's going on here. So iniquity is inward motivation. Transgression is outward movement. Transgression is where we get our word trespass. Trespass means to step over a boundary. When we're born in this world, there's an enemy who wants to destroy us. And he continually moves in us to step over the boundary. How many of you ever done anything in your heart you knew you shouldn't do it, but you did it anyway? Amen. Am I at the right church this morning? But you did it anyway, knowing you shouldn't do it. And then when afterwards you felt so terrible about it. See, that's that inclination to do evil. Iniquity, let me give you another way to help you understand it. Iniquity is of the heart. Transgression is of the hand. Another way, iniquity is an attitude. We're born in iniquity. We're born with a propensity to sin. But transgression is when we actually do it. Iniquity is an attitude. It's on the inside. Transgression is an action. It's on the outside. It's sort of like lust and adultery. Lust is that inward motivation. Adultery is when you actually do what you've been motivated to do. Now, they're both sins, and so Jesus was dealing with a Pharisaical attitude, and so the Pharisees taught that as long as you don't transgress, it's okay. Sort of like you can win the shop, just don't buy nothing. You can read the menu, just don't order nothing. Amen? It's sort of like, but you remember last week we were talking about the enemy, how he opens doors. And I want to tell you something. We're living in a world today that is trying to teach a culture to not worry about that inward thing, not worry about that drive and that desire. And so they've tried to cover it up in any way. And so we live in a day now where everything is okay. But I want you to understand one thing. There's an evil, evil force in this world. It happened when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. It is a propensity to do evil, and that evil is nothing more but to destroy you. And God put the church here to be a light to them, say, hey, there's a way out. I have given you hope. I sent my son to break the curse, and you can change. Amen. The Pharisee says, as long as you don't transgress. Now, Jesus, remember the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to this now. On the Sermon on the Mount, he says, the law says not to transgress. Don't commit adultery. But Jesus said, if you do it in your heart, if you lust in your heart, you've already committed. Do you remember that scripture? What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about your heart. He's talking about that propensity to do evil. Well, long as I don't do anything, but God is saying here, you've got to deal with the thoughts that's coming in your heart and in your mind, and you got to quickly get them out, because if you don't get them out, then evidently or eventually you may do exactly what you're thinking about. He talked about murder. You remember that? Murder in your heart. As long as I don't commit murder, but I got it in my heart. Amen. I know none of y'all, that's going over your head because ain't none of y'all wanted to kill nobody. I know that. But what Jesus is really trying to say, you've got to deal with the heart. Iniquity is, one writer put it like this, is inequity. Inequity. Equity, of course, we understand equity, like equity in your home or whatever, is value. Inequity means we are not equal to God's holiness. We can't be good enough. We can't philosophize ourselves enough. We can't do enough good things to equal to God's holiness. And what is so, when I was studying this message, what brought in my heart is that there's so many people who do not understand salvation, who do not understand God, and are living and going to a devil's hell today because they don't understand the simple message is that God can break the chains in your life and He can help you change the way you think. Amen? Some people today feel like, well, I've messed up. I've done these things. I committed these sins and I'll never, never, never get out of it. I'll never, never, never get straight. Isn't that a lie from the pit? God says He can forgive us of our sins. Amen? And the world needs to know that no matter what road you've been down or no matter what road you're down right now, God can come in your life and He can help change your way of thinking. Did you know that's what repent is all about anyway? Repentance, you know what the word repent means? It means to change your mind. It means that I can't keep living like I'm living. And so I want our church to be built on an attitude of salvation. We are here for one purpose and one purpose only. To be a light to a dying world. To let them know that Jesus is still the way. Amen? Jesus is still the light, the truth. He is the way. And without Him there is no other way. Remember I said iniquity is on the inside. Transgression is on the outside. I'm still dealing with number one. He removes our transgressions. I want you to quickly turn to Isaiah. Take a right there. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. This is going to be a familiar scripture to a lot of you, but I want you to see the inside and I want you to see the outside. Isaiah 53 and 5 said, but He was wounded for our transgressions. That's outside. He was bruised. How many know what a bruise is? That's blood underneath. That's blood inside that rises up. Jesus came. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isn't that beautiful? He was wounded on the outside. He was bruised on the inside. God has removed. Go back now to our original scripture. Go back now and help me read that again in Psalms. I told you we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. So Psalms 103. I love God's Word. Don't you love God's Word? Amen. Don't you love what it does to you? Don't you love it explains? Men complicate everything, but God explains through His Word. Amen. I love His Word. God has removed our transgressions. Look what He said. As far as the east is from the west. What does that mean? Infinity. When you ask God to come into your heart, He removes your transgressions. Isn't that wonderful? God completely, here's a word we understand, deletes. Amen. Deletes our transgression. You remember I said, if you ask God to forgive you, keep this in mind. Do you know what a lot of people today live under? They live under guilt and condemnation. They can't believe they did it. They feel terrible every day they did it. And every day they live with guilt and condemnation. What does the Bible say? When God forgives you, He blots out your sins. We're going to read that scripture in just a minute. Matter of fact, I want you to go with me now to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Amen. So number one is, He removes our transgressions. And let me give you the word. Number two is, He remembers them no more. If we could get the message today that no matter what you've done, Jesus loves you. And He can change your life. Do you believe that? How many of you here are changed lives today? How many are not what you used to be? How many are meaner than what you used to be? No, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. George, put your hand down. Amen.
That
But He remembers. Look, the second thing is, He remembers it no more. Now, here's where the majority of people live. I can't believe that the nightmares and the torment of what they did. I know God is God, and I know He can forgive me, but man, I tell you, I just can't forgive myself. Have you ever done anything that you just couldn't forgive yourself? You know what that is? That's the torment of the enemy. Look at Isaiah 43:25. Now the second thing is, He remembers them no more. Now I take God's word literally. If God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen? One writer said it like this: it doesn't matter if I believe it or not, it's settled. Whether I believe it or not, God's word is settled. So Isaiah 43, let me give you some word. Verse 25, I, talking about God, even I am He. Get that now. Isaiah, how many of you know sometimes you can't remember where you put your car keys, but you can remember what you did 10 years ago? Who do you think's doing that? You know what He does? If He can break you down on the inside, if He can break your motivation, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are going to lead that group? Who do you think you are going to pray? Who do you think you are going to sing in the choir? Do you remember what you did? I'm trying to teach you this morning, that don't come from God. I'm fixing to read you the word. The word says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. Hold that thought there. And will, what's the next part? Not remember. Do you believe God meant that? Well, I said it, but I didn't quite, you know, no. How many of you know when God says it, He means it? See, this is a strategy of the enemy to keep you down, to keep you down. You remember what you did. You remember what your family did. You remember this, blah. You remember. The word says right here, God says, His word says, I will remember them no more. I don't care what anybody wants to debate. I don't care how many PhDs and DDDs and all the other E's. And I don't care what they want to say about it. I'm going to read the word. The word says He will not remember them anymore. It says He blots out. Now, there's a key word. You remember I told you one word is powerful. Every word in the Bible is powerful. Let's read that again. I'm going to see. I'm going to put a twitch to a test. And I want you to see what word comes out. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake. God saying, I'm going to do this. And will not remember thy sins. Underline the word will. God chooses. His will is to choose not to remember your sins. That is so awesome. Hold your finger there, and let's flip over to the New Testament, to Hebrews chapter 8. Well, that's the Old Testament. You know, hear all these, well, that's the Old Testament. No, that's the New Testament. It's still God's word. Amen. I was once young, but now I'm old, but I'm still me. Amen. Ain't none of y'all going to identify with none of that, but y'all were young one time too, and now y'all old. Don't even act like you can hang on to this and pull on to that and tuck in this, but you still done going to meddling now. Verse 12, Hebrews 8, verse 12, New Testament. For I, there's that I again, will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Mercy. I love that song we sung this morning in choir. Did you hear that? She didn't know what I was preaching. I didn't know what she was going to sing, but I already had this before then. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Amen. saved by grace and mercy of God. See, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and look now, this is the word, and their sins, and their iniquities, what does he say? Will I remember no more. No more. No more. God is saying that. He said, I'll remember them. Remember. Now look at the word remember, because you've got to understand, when you study the Bible, take every word. Look at the word remember. The word remember means to recall or bring something up for use. That's what it means. To recall or bring. You remember when you study for a test? Lord, help me remember what I have studied. Get this now. God has chosen not to bring up your past. That's the word. Well, I have a lot of problems, preacher, with my past. It's not coming from God. I'm exposing the enemy today, and he is so mad. He is so mad. Because there is a pharisaical spirit that says, well, if you're good enough, then God will love you. But if you're not good enough, and if the devil, if you believe that, he'll always keep you down because you're never going to feel good enough. Do you ever look in the mirror in the mornings and do all you can to primp and get everything right and still say, Y'all do that? New clothes, new this, new haircut. It's just, But you know what? God still loves you. Even though you're, He still loves you. The biggest hurt in a relationship, in the counseling that I've done with marital counseling, things like that over the years, and parents and different things, 42 years of ministry, one of the biggest hurts that comes into a life of an individual is when their mate or somebody in their family brings up their past. That hurts, doesn't it? Well, I tell you what, I know you're trying to do better and all, but I remember what you did. Don't think I don't. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He loves to accuse and keep us down. God chooses. Then here comes the skeptics, and they say, okay, let me debate that with you, preacher. Are you telling me that God is omniscient, that he's all-knowing? Yeah, he knows everything. Well, how in the world does he choose not to remember? Don't he know everything? It doesn't say he forgets. Doesn't say it. It says he chooses not to bring it up. He chooses not to remember. He has knowledge, but this is even more love. This is even more love. He knows you and still loves you. Isn't that awesome? You see, we like to categorize everything. We feel like there's a big file cabinet somewhere, and when we go to God and asking him for something, we think he walks over there and pulls this file cabinet out and says, let me go through your files first. I see where you asked forgiveness here, and you asked forgiveness here, and you did, and you got mad with your husband. You asked forgiveness a lot of times during that time, and you go all through. God doesn't do that. The enemy does it, but God doesn't do it. Memories are beautiful things that we have of our loved ones. But the enemy even tries to take, how he takes everything that's beautiful from God, tries to turn it around. He tries to make you remember things in your past. I want to preach to the world today. Your past is not who you are. What you did then, the circumstance you were in, it's over. God forgives. Yeah, but people don't forget. You're not serving people, you're serving God. Amen. You don't live for people now. Now, let's be honest and real. We have to deal with people. And sticks and stones break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's not true. Words do hurt. But I want to tell you this today. When you go to God and say, God, I ask you forgiveness. He removes our transgressions. And then secondly, he remembers them no more. Now, I'm going to bring up a little something funny right here, so I don't want none of the women mad at me. Amen. Because Andy Griffith said, never, ever, ever mess with a lady's artillery. Never do it. So memories of men and women. You know, there's a lot of books out today on men and women. I got to be careful right here. And it's a fact that men lose their memory when they sleep. It's a fact. Ask them what they did yesterday. They'll stop and think, well, let's see. But ask a woman, they never forget nothing. Amen. Don't forget nothing. Amen. Amen. Don't forget nothing. That woman can tell you how you said it, the way you said it, what you were wearing, when you said it, the pair of shoes you had on, that when you did say it. Amen. A year later, they can tell you, I remember how you done your little hand at me. Don't think I don't remember that. You know. Amen. I'm glad Teresa ain't here. Amen. But I just put it to help you understand iniquity and transgressions. The man part of God chooses to forget. The woman part of God, he knows everything. Amen. That'll help you understand that. Amen. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is we talked about he removes, he remembers, and this is the beautiful part right here. Going back to Psalm 103, the beautiful part of it is he releases us from transgressions. Beautiful part. Psalm 103, he releases us. Iniquities, he forgives. Look at verse 3. Let me just read that to you. Psalm 103, verse 3. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. And when God says all, he means all. So you remember that scripture there. If you're dealing with anything in your past, if the devil's beating you with something that you could have done right, you should have done, would have, could have, all that kind of stuff. Under this, God releases you from your iniquities. He forgives. And you know what the word forgiveness means? Let me read this verse first. Verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. You know what the word forgive means? It means to release. You know, when you forgive somebody that's done you wrong, they did me wrong. I tell you right now, they did it. They admitted they did it. They did it. But when you forgive them, you release not only them, but here's the key. You release yourself. You're not under that bondage no more. God releases us from, listen, you know what it also means? It means a debt paid. A debt that is paid. Jesus came and he paid the debt. We celebrate communion every week. And all these men, we got some tremendous men in our church. And every week I'm blessed by what all of them say about the communion. Because I know it's coming from their heart. But the bottom line theme is Jesus spilled his blood on Calvary so that we could be free. Amen. Iniquity is an inward. Jesus broke that chain. Remember, Paul said in the New Testament, he says, that sin that does so easily beset us, Satan is always trying to keep us down, but Jesus releases you. Now, one final scripture, and then we're gonna go home. Go with me to the New Testament, the book of John, chapter 20. We're talking about releases. Go with me to John chapter 20. Those of you that study the Word know exactly where I'm at right now. This is Jesus getting ready to ascend back to the Father during those 40 days after resurrection, of resurrection. And I want you to look what he's talking about here. I'm not going to take time to read all this, but in the King James, but there's other more versions that explain it even better, but let me just give you the King James. Verse 23, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Sometimes the King James vernacular is not quite clear, but really what it's saying is, Jesus saying here, whoever confesses their sins, they'll be released. Whoever don't confess their sins, they'll be condemned. Now, when you study the scripture, don't ever just take one verse out and read one verse. How many people have done that? You got to understand the context of what's going on here. The context of what Jesus is saying right here, he's getting ready to send back to the Father. He's giving some final words to these disciples. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, listen, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Isn't that what he's saying? Let your message, men, I'm getting ready to go back to the Father now. I'll be interceding on your behalf. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter. The Greek says paraclete, one just like me, which we know as the Holy Spirit. He said, but your message, your main goal from here on out is to preach to men and set them free. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And let them know that if they'll confess their sins, they'll be free. But also let them know that if they don't, they'll be condemned. Jesus releases us from a debt that we could not pay. Aren't you glad of that today? He is such a good God. This is the basis of salvation. This is the basis of what we as Northview stand for. And I want to tell you, there's more love in this church than there's a lot of love in this church right here. And my prayer is that God will give us wisdom and direction so that people will know. But the number one thing that people need to know is you can be forgiven. God can forgive you if you just release it to Him. Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Lord, for salvation. We thank You, Lord, that we are saved. We understand, God, by learning from Your word, it's not anything we did. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we're so great. And God, it's not because we don't ever do anything wrong. It's because You're a loving, wonderful God. God, and I know there's an adversary out there who every day buffets us and tries to make us feel like that we are worthless. But he's a liar. And we reveal him today because we gave Your people Your word today. This is not what I think. This is not what I come up with. This is Your word. Your word, God says, that You blot out our sins. Your word tells us that You release us, oh God. And Lord, I pray today that when our paths are crossed with people that their hearts are so heavy and so troubled and they don't know what to do, may they turn to You, Lord. And may we as Northview people be able to share with them, Jesus can change your life. In Jesus' name we pray.